Welcome to Plants and Things Podcast. My name is Katie and I'm a hobbyist gardener. Thank you for listening to this episode. I really appreciate it whenever you listen, and I am so excited to talk to you today. We're going to be talking about something that we haven't talked about before on this podcast, which is foraging. So I typically say, like, you know, we talk about all things gardening and sometimes foraging. So we're definitely going to be diving into that today. I do want to let you know I am on vacation with my family. So I'm just going to be kind of going over the highlights, the things that I recommend for foraging, which is pretty cool. I typically stay to the things that are very safe, that don't have like super toxic lookalikes. So I just want to go ahead and start with like some recommendations for if you are interested in foraging. I recommend looking at all of the toxic plants, getting really well acquainted with those in your area so you know to avoid them. For example, if you are interested in foraging for anything like wild carrots, hemlock looks a lot like that, so definitely familiarize yourself. And if you aren't sure or 100% sure you think it might look like it but you don't really No, I don't recommend eating it. Just make sure that you are 1,000% sure before you eat anything. Another thing that I think is very important that sometimes we don't exactly follow, I see people doing this a lot and I'm like, oh no, don't do that, would be only forage for however much you will use or need, and always, always leave enough for the wild animals or enough for the plant itself to reproduce and continue surviving. What you don't want to do is forage, well, for one, at the wrong time, and whenever you do that, for some plants, it'll stop their cycle of like reproduction and will inhibit that plant from coming back or something like that. So definitely be mindful of that, but also be mindful of if you're foraging for, let's say, like blackberries, leave some blackberries for the birds and for the wildlife that also need to eat that, because it's, you know, one of their food sources. So don't over forage for things like that. Something else that I would recommend looking out for is, you know, what you don't want to do with foraging would be digging up the entire root of a plant. So for example, if you're foraging for a root vegetable or a root like you know, like ginseng, I would not dig up the entire thing. I would recommend leaving enough for the plant to come back again next year so that you can keep foraging. You want to be respectful of the plants and animals and everything, and because it's all too often that sometimes we will accidentally overforage and lose a species in an area, which is not what we want to do, because we want to be able to keep coming back and getting that and having a good relationship with the ecosystem. So I recommend, if you are wanting to start foraging, start with the things that do not have any toxic lookalikes. So for example, at least in my area where I live, blackberries and raspberries and wineberries don't have any toxic lookalikes, which is really good, and they're pretty easy to pick out, but also be careful. So if you're not super familiar with what raspberries or blackberries look like, you can do like a quick Google search. I do know some people will use like plant identification apps. I use those, but I want to go ahead and let you know that they're not 100% accurate. A lot of them use like AI and things like that, and they only know the information that they've been given. So definitely be mindful of that and be careful when doing that. Some things that you could do would be like looking up any toxic lookalikes for what you think that it is, and then reading through like what the toxic lookalikes are and what to look for. You will need some botany knowledge, so just like a crash course in botany, which is so funny because they just uploaded a crash course in botany and I'm super excited about it. I love crash course stuff. I'm not affiliated or anything like that. This is just like my personal opinion, but they're great and I'm excited to watch that. And I do recommend like familiarizing yourself with some botany things. And I do want to let you know, whenever you start getting into this, you're gonna find a lot of things called similar names, like the common names, like something that I've noticed, like the silver dollar tree. I've also heard it called like a money tree, things like that. But there's also different species within that that it really just depends on like where you are in the US as to like what it's called. So you will run into some of that whenever you are foraging and you're trying to find out like what it is that you're looking at. It will have like the common names, and you'll notice some definite overlap between the common names and what you are actually getting. So I recommend understanding scientific names, and I can definitely go over that. Like, if you have any questions, feel free to ask me, and I'll help walk you through that. But yeah, if you're interested in foraging, definitely familiarize yourself with botany and the scientific names. And then I would start with the easy things like blackberries and raspberries. That's where I feel most comfortable because I know what those look like. But there are some things like sassafras where it has some lookalikes, but sassafras has such a distinct smell. Like, and that's an odd way to be able to like tell what something is, but I can tell that a sassafras tree is a sassafras tree from the smell that it gives off. And then it also has like the three different kinds of leaves on it, which is really unique. But I've also seen other plants with three sets of leaves that were not sassafras. But if you are in like the woods or something foraging and you smell that like sassafras smell, and this could be just like more common in Appalachia, but we would make sassafras syrup and sassafras tea, and it was just it was amazing. That is one that you have to be careful with too. Like, you don't want to over forage that because it is becoming less common. So if you are going to forage for sassafras, be careful how much you take. Definitely be careful. And I found a sassafras tree last year and I tried to take a cutting and propagate it, and it did not work. But that is another thing that you could do. You could try growing it yourself, which is pretty cool. I will be happy to talk to you more if you have any questions about foraging. And I wanted to thank you so much for listening. And you know, if you know anybody that's interested in starting to garden or forage, please like and share. And thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye.